Over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of twister action, just like we're living a movie.
Guys, whatever's in there, it's big and it's moving fast. Drive.
Go, 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 go!
Okay, maybe not quite as severe as that yet, but it has potential in the summer months. Tornadoes obviously can be dangerous, and we're thankful there has been, some destruction, but not a massive amount so far. And for a while there yesterday, Saskatoon was even under another tornado watch, too, but nothing came out of that one either, thankfully. We've seen a lot of significant tornado and storm-related activity lately. And Ricky Forbes is a storm chaser. He feels storm season has started early and it's not over yet. He admits, too, that thanks to the movies, storm chasing has become a huge pastime for wannabe storm chasers.
We are seeing more weekend warriors, more people just interested in getting out there and giving it a shot. But down in the United States, like in the heart of Tornado Alley, there's days that we'll see thousands of cars out there and there's traffic jams around these storms, and it's definitely, I've been doing it for 13 years, and it's wild how much the culture has changed in those years.
Storm chaser Ricky Forbes there, living his best life. He chases storms, and he was asked to share his most memorable tornado watch and whether or not the movies even get it right. Here's what he said first on the most memorable tornado.
10 years ago, we were caught inside a tornado, and not on purpose. We're not out there to be inside the tornadoes. We were caught inside a tornado and it turned out to be the world's largest tornado on record. It was over 4 kilometers wide. We were in there for just under a minute and we have footage of it and we were able to get out of it. And it was just by luck. But that would be one that definitely stands out. To have a brush with the world's largest tornado is something for the resume. We had Twisters come out last year, which was the sequel to the Twister from the 90s. Those two movies did get it correct. The way they're forecasting, the way the storms look, the way the storms behave, what storm chasers are doing. But there are lots of other disaster movies and storm chasing movies, and sometimes we'll see, 20 tornadoes on the ground or tornadoes spitting fire. Those aren't quite correct.
As for our recent tornado activity, will it remain as active as it has been the last few weeks? Forbes kind of thinks, conditions are still pretty ripe for it to continue.
I do feel that way. We see the jet stream locking in up here for at least the next 2.5-3 weeks, plus this moisture coming in right now, and what we see also coming in, I do feel it's going to be an active year.
We'll all have to be keeping our eye to the sky, and of course, all summer long, we have the very latest on weather and how it affects you when you tune into 980 CJME. Hey, have you noticed whether or not the price of gas has gone up? Oil prices are going up, and because of the instability of the Middle East and summer vacation season arriving now, it's probably inevitable. Gas Buddy suggesting this morning we could see fuel jump between 3 and 7 cents per liter at any time here, too. And because of all the construction, I know it's aggravating. I heard from some coworkers here this morning how last night trying to get out of the parking lot on Sass Drive here to go home, it was taking forever. It's downtown construction. It's Dewdney construction. It's a bit of a headache, but hey, you still want to do your best to support local and shop, and the Cornwall Center is trying to help you out here. Till the end of July, they suggest it's free parking at the Cornwall Center. There is a 2.5-hour limit, of course, and they'll be monitoring that, but they're hoping to entice people to shop downtown despite all the construction. Coming up after the 8 o'clock news, I'm going to be visiting with Lance Donison, Executive Director of the Regina Warehouse District. He'll join me for an update on Dewdney construction. And I'm curious, too, if it's true they've been using extra crews and working longer hours to get that job done faster. And well, if you're a fan of Dolly Parton, she just announced she's going back to Vegas for a 6-show mini residency at Caesar's Palace in December during Rodeo Week. It's called Dolly Live in Vegas, her first time back in Vegas for an extended run in 32 years. They say tickets are going to go on sale tomorrow. Some of them are VIP packages that include backstage access and photo ops and hanging out in Dolly's Rhinestone Lounge. On top of it all, Dolly just put out a bit of a rock song with Motley Crue. She's got a Broadway musical on the way, and she's being honored with a humanitarian award at the Oscars in the fall, too. Busy, busy lady. You might have heard recently about a 400% salary increase for the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, which means They were getting like $15 an hour, and it's gone up to $75 an hour now. The cheerleaders received that salary increase from the NFL after fighting tooth and nail for a livable wage. Their battle has been documented now in the second season of the Netflix series, America's Sweethearts, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. You've perhaps caught it. It just dropped on Netflix, and they talk about, if you watch that series, all the perks, beginning with hair makeovers. Here's some examples.
Our sponsorship showcase gives our corporate partners the chance to showcase their products and all the great things the girls get as a cheerleader. Experts that love these makeovers.
Nails and lashes. You guys receive one nail kit per week.
Botox and the fillers.
A beautiful custom wig, sew-ins, ponytails, silk presses, all the good stuff.
Lash lifts. Girls get the lash lifts.
For sure.
We get you $60 a week in meals that you guys can have.
We actually have a surprise for y'all. So we are all going to the Bahamas together.
Yeah, that's from the Dallas Cheerleaders series on Netflix that is amazingly popular. I believe it's in Canada's top 10 right now if you have Netflix. But apparently they make an estimated $150,000 a year. And even more so when they do personal appearances and do the social media influencing. Finally, Don Cherry, he's released his final episode of his podcast, The Grapevine. He's 91 years old, and the former coach and hockey player, broadcasting legend, is suggesting he's hanging up his headphones for good. He sounds pretty frail here as he says goodbye.
Well, Tim, this is our last show.
Yep. How many podcasts have we done?
I don't know.
This is our 313th.
313.
Yeah, we've been listened to all around the world. It's just amazing how many different countries, you know, people download and listen to it. We've had 6.5 million downloads, which is pretty good. So
how many?
6.5 million downloads.
That's an awful lot. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And toodaloo.
Toodaloo. Cherry had launched that podcast back in the 80s, and he brought it back in 2019 after he was fired from Hockey Night in Canada. Some of you may recall he had made comments about those in Canada who don't buy and wear poppies to commemorate Remembrance Day. But, man, that was must watch for me. Don Cherry. Loved him on Hockey Night in Canada. And you heard Jamie Nye from the Green Zone earlier in his commentary talking about Rock'em Sock'em videos on VHS. Man, we had every one of them when we were kids. CJME News Time now is 7:55. Coming up here with Andrew Shepherd, we've got the very latest on what's going on with President Trump. Man, he is a little angry here this morning, and this all stems from the ceasefire he thought was in action.
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because the one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that.
He went on to drop the F-bomb. And, of course, he's increasingly angry as he believed both countries were violating the agreement. It is construction season, and just about every one of us has an aggravating story to tell. I know some coworkers were suggesting last night getting out of the parking lot here at 5 on Sass Drive was nuts. Traffic was backed up, and there are orange cones everywhere around the city, it seems, holding us up at one point or another. And duty construction rolls on. It seems like it's gone on forever, and hopefully by the fall it'll be done. Or will it? Lance Donison is executive director for the Regina Warehouse District and pops in for a quick update. Good morning, Lance. Welcome. Has the mayor lived up to the promise that there would be more crews working and longer hours, too, to get it done faster? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, Greg. I think there's a considerable improvement has happened from last year. Last year, I think they were running two crews. This year, I believe we're running, like, our construction partners are running six full crews, and things seem to be moving along very well. It's certainly an improvement over last year.
So what's it looking like there now? Can you see much of the future yet? When you look at the design, do the sidewalks look different? The roads? Give us a little picture.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a massive, massive project. I honestly encourage anyone in the city to go down, visit one of the Dudney Avenue businesses and see the size of this project that is happening. I mean, there are 35 feet deep, replacing 120-year-old infrastructure. The size of the materials that is laid down in the yards is absolutely massive. I'm sure you can see them from the Ralco Towers every day looking out over the yards. You can see the amount of material that's there. And it is progressing. They've got through some of the most difficult portions of the project, some of the things they were worried about. They bored underneath the railway tracks. That is done. It went as scheduled. They encountered some difficulties, but they were able to solve them and move along. And every day, my office is just, it's right on Dudney Avenue. So I see it and I walk it every day. They're moving, you know, 20 to 30 feet along every day. At the far east end, we're starting to see the surfaces go in. So we're starting to see the boulevard is in, for example, and the sidewalk is in and the pavers are in, and they look great. It's a significant, significant improvement, and it's going to be definitely a distinctive trademark of the warehouse district is going to be Dudney Avenue moving forward. I think it's going to be a fantastic looking streetscape once it's complete.
Lance Donison for the Regina Warehouse District. So have local businesses been thriving or just surviving with people perhaps not knowing there's extra parking established in the meantime to shop local? What's going on with local businesses?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. This is a difficult time. I mean, Dudney is completely closed. People can't access the businesses and the shops the way they used to. It's important that we try to get the message out, and we've been working hard with the city to try to communicate to everyone that the businesses along Dudney Avenue remain open. The sidewalk remains open along the north side where all the businesses are. There's lots of free parking in the yards, and it's open for business, and we really hope that people will come down and support those businesses to try to see them through to the end of this. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. We're getting close now, so we need to make sure we try to support those local businesses and ensure they're there for next year when we have all these fantastic streetscapes to take advantage of.
And just to be clear, is it entirely going to be done, they hope, by October, or what's the scenario?
That's the plan. And right now, I'm not sure if the construction companies would want me saying this, but as of right now, I think they are on time. They even may be a little bit ahead of schedule, which is encouraging. I mean, that could change. We all know what weather is like in Saskatchewan. That can change at the drop of a hatch, right? Just wait 2 minutes for a new forecast. But as of right now, they are on time. The plan is to be done in the fall. There may be some little touch-ups that need to be done in the spring, like the planting of some trees and that sort of thing. But I mean, the plan is that as of this fall, the street will be open and the sidewalks will all be open.
All right, Lance. Good update. Thanks for weighing in this morning with what's going on Dudney Construction. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Want to give a shout out to my friends at the Hospitals of Regina Foundation, who later this morning, together with the SHA, are going to reveal that newly transformed courtyard space in the General Hospital. The Hospital Foundation invested $50,000 to help transform that courtyard. New art, lighting, accessibility, kids area enhanced, and officially revealing it this morning. So congrats to that cooperative effort there, too, at the General. As your summer vacation season begins to crank up here in the coming days, kids get out of school this week. Many of us start to plan a staycation. Jim Bentz was on the Evan Bray Show yesterday with host Brent Lauk, CEO of Hospitality Saskatchewan. It was interesting to hear Jim talk about the hospitality industry here, holding their head above water in preparation for the summer season. They're doing all right now, but admittedly, it could be a struggle within a year because it's not going to get any easier. finding good help because some changes are coming to the immigration program on the horizon.
It's going to look extremely tough. In March, the federal government made a number of changes to our immigration programs. In some of the big provinces, they had very high unemployment and housing was, in crisis. So the federal government made some knee-jerk reactions. Well, the impacts on provinces that have about 1.5 million and less people, it's really caused some amazing shortages. You know, we've got about 900,000 folks that are on work visas of some type that will be leaving, and there's very few pathways back. So our industry typically gets hit first by stuff like that. Of course, we hire domestically first, and then we'll even go across Canada to other areas that have got higher unemployment, and we do recruiting there. But having said that, once it's all exhausted, we do need that component in our workforce. And now with so many temporary foreign workers unable to get extensions, they'll be going home. International students is a huge blow to us. Many students work within our industry. They're not getting their postgrad work permits renewed, and permanent residence, that's been slashed in half by the feds as well, too, which was a great way to keep people once they've applied for permanent residence and got here. So again, for Saskatchewan, by next July, we're really going to see the impacts of those federal moves that were made last March.
Jim Benson, the state of the hospitality industry, and because of that immigration program changing, finding enough help on the horizon is going to become even more challenging. And Jim's been trying to sound the alarm, even in our local hotel association.
I had challenged a number of my 25 hoteliers to, I said, please go back to your payroll department and run a report of all your staff that have a social insurance number that starts with the number 9. Because every single one of those folks are here on some sort of visa and will probably be going home. And they were shocked when they came back to me. They said, oh my gosh, I had no idea that by next July I'm going to need 11 people in key spots. One of my employers who owns a number of quick service restaurants, she needs 120 people today. 120 across province, yeah. I mean, a lot of these folks they're not compliant with their franchise agreements, which means they have to have their takeout windows open 24 hours. They got to be open 24 hours. They simply don't have the staff.
Yeah, and it is quite a challenge and also a political hot potato too, right? In Ottawa and provincially, the governments are, well, they're thinking, okay, probably finding themselves torn here. They want to support and help support local businesses, but on the other hand, there is a growing movement to have a lot of these people not stay in Canada.
100%. And it's really, in our case, it's starting to stymie growth. You know, Humboldt, it's just booming. It's got a couple of projects. BHP will be moving in. I've got folks that would love to expand their operations into that area, and they simply can't because they don't have the people. There's no way we're going to put shovels in the ground because we don't have managers or even people to staff the windows.
Jim Bentz, President, CEO of Hospitality Saskatchewan. Good update there from Jim. CJME News Time now is 8:26.